Hello, everybody. I'm Lorenzo, sitting next to
Chelsea,
and
I'm Danny.
Cool.
Or Danko.
Danko.
I should just call myself Danko.
Danko. Legally change your name.
Yeah, let's just do it.
Danko Cardona.
Oh yeah, I like it.
What a change.
Wow.
All right, so we have a few topics. Our first topic is favorite song that you analyzed. Something that definitely blew your mind.
Cool.
Anybody want to start?
Do you want me to start?
Go ahead.
All right, cool. So I don't know if you guys have heard me talk about The Deer Hunter before.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with them because I'm obsessed with concepts. So they're a concept band and it's five acts. They've done four acts right now. So there's five acts about the person called The Deer Hunter. Around the fourth act, like the second to last song, it's called The March. And it's where everything hits the fan. Like all the characters start to converge together. And it's like this big climax where, he's pissed off one of the bad guys. He's called the Pimp and the Priest. Pimp/Priest, you know. And there's a whole story about that I might get over soon. But he set his cathedral/brothel on fire. And so he's kind of like rallying the people, the Pimp and the Priest, to like find this guy and be like, the deer hunter's bad, like we need to kill him, essentially. And so he has this big speech and it's like in my head I'm like, oh my god, like he's gonna die. Mm-hmm. Like this is bad, like everything is going, like everything's unraveling and everything's falling apart, and like the deer hunter's like hiding in the back while he's hearing this speech and it's bad. And they finally catch to him and they corner him, and then it like transitions into blood. It's like a double side. And blood is like him admitting to everything that he's done in the past couple albums and how he's a killer, and he's admitting to this to all these people until like the climax where they finally kill him. Mm. And it's like really like there's a lot of tension to it. Mm. Because it's like you really want him to pull through, but at the same time you're like, well, he has done like a lot of terrible things and a lot of questionable like things, but you're torn. And it's like, oh my gosh, like I really wish he would pull through, but it's not gonna happen. So yeah, that's really tense. Act four, hymns of it's like hymns of the sacred. Act four, Deer Hunter. It's a great album.
That sounds gnarly.
It's tension, hardcore. But that double side is impactful to me. The March and Blood, because it was the turning point of the whole story.
Oh.
That's what we've all been waiting for.
Ooh.
People who listen to The Deer Hunter. So yeah, that's me.
That's tight.
Interesting.
Chelsea?
One song that really grabbed my attention was back in maybe like 2012 at school, mm-hmm. at art school, you know. There was this choreographer who did this piece to a Dizzy Gillespie song called Toccata. Now, I watched the piece. The piece was fabulous, and I had to, like, Shazam it, you know. Mm. No, couldn't find it on Shazam or anything like that. So I had to ask him, what is this? YouTubed it. It's, like, 12 minutes long, the entire song.
Holy crap.
And it's instrumental. If you guys don't know who Dizzy Gillespie is, you mm-hmm. should definitely check him out. And literally, this is a whole short film. You could produce and create a whole short film to this entire song. The mood changes are super cool. Hmm. It's sneaky, it's fast, it's fun, it's sad, yeah. And there's time signature changes, and that really opened like my eyes to instrumental music and how you don't need lyrics to have a story, especially for dance, because a lot of times they're like, oh, what are the lyrics saying? And like, yeah, like emote, blah, blah, blah. And then I saw this, I saw it, and I was like, my jaw dropped, because what he created to the piece is something totally different than what I would do.
Yeah.
So the way everybody interprets the music it differently is what I really enjoy about this particular song. Mm-hmm. And I listen to it a lot. It's 12 minutes long or 15.
I'm down.
Depends on depends on like if it's a live version. I don't recommend listening to the live, because recordings back then were not very good.
No.
But but yeah, that's definitely a song that I have listened to continuously on long drives, or sometimes when I just want to be challenged, like to find different accents or details in the music, I listen to that song. And I have yet to create a fantastic piece to it yet, but it's coming. I can feel it.
Oh yeah. Mm. Down.
That's me.
Okay.
So my favorite song that I've ever analyzed is called Little Bit by Drake featuring Likely. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce her name.
Likely.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Likely. I don't know.
Featuring Lorenzo. So the original song is about a girl who loves this guy a little bit, but she's scared to admit it because he treats her badly and she's not really sure if it's real love. So that's the original version. And Drake took out a few small parts, not even major parts, and he changed the whole concept of the song to where these two are too scared to admit that they love each other. They want to say that they love each other, but they can't because their friends don't want them to be together. And it was super interesting to hear Drake just take out small parts and put in his own words and the correct words to change a whole storyline to something completely different. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that off So Far Gone. Dang, I don't know what year that was.
I think that's
2007.
Like seven?
No way.
Absolutely. Wait,
fact check. 2007? No,
2006, okay. 2006, 7.
I think it was 2007 because that's when, God, what's that?
I bet you it's 2009.
No way, you know, no way.
I feel like it might be because that's when I saw him.
No.
And he only had that album.
2008.
Okay, the in-between, graduation year.
Oh, that's a good album.
But that song is...
It's one of my favorites.
That song was super crazy to analyze. And I've tried for now, since it's 2018, I've tried for a decade to make a piece to it and never could satisfy what it truly is.
Mm.
The plight.
All right.
The thing... Hold on.
Uh-huh.
You won't find it there.
I was going to be like, this is the album that introduced me to Drake. But it's his first album.
Yeah.
But that's what introduced me to Drake.
Technically not an album.
It's a mixtape.
It's a mixtape.
It's a mixtape?
Yeah.
Why is it on Spotify then?
Yeah.
Because it is.
You know.
It says album. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Spotify's not that crazy yet.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Go on.
Okay, so our next one, obviously up to date, because in a few years or maybe even the next week, this question might change. What is your favorite album and why?
Go ahead, Jesse.
Oh, okay. Yes, well, you have to know before we jumped onto this podcast and Lorenzo was like, what's your favorite album and why? I had a panic attack because there's so many that I love. And because I don't stay the same person week or day to day, you know, I was like, for right now, it has to be Panic at the Disco's new album.
Yeah.
Pray for the Wicked.
Yeah.
And ask me why, I can't really explain it, but I know I've been a Panic fan since day one. And yeah. I personally think this is the best album yet.
It's his prime.
This is his
big debut, honestly.
You feel like Brendan is being himself?
Yeah.
Finally.
Honestly, yeah.
And he's really said like a big fuck you to anybody or anything that has like stopped him previously.
Yeah. We could talk about Panic all day. I just want to say like, I think it took him a long time to get away from like...
The members.
Everyone, yeah. To get away from the mindset of like, what am I trying to say? Like, God, I'm trying to say something.
Okay.
And I'm going to say it.
You do that.
I'm going to say it. It took him a long time to get away from like the whole band template,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Like even when they were doing, I don't even remember the album and like, it's the best, a great album. The first one.
A Fever You Can't Sweat Out.
A Fever You Can't Sweat Out. Like,
changed my life.
It was great.
Yeah.
And then I feel like Brendan wanted to do so much because then you have like Pretty Odd and that was like a complete different like side.
Yeah.
And then after everyone broke up, you know.
Yeah.
And like I think he was trying so hard, like too weird to live, too rare to die.
Mm-hmm.
That was like him trying to do what he successfully did in this album.
Yes.
Like mm-hmm. He finally did it and I was just I agree
100% and I feel like and I relate to the album a lot. There's a lot of songs that like really hit you in the heart, like high
it's
hopes.
It's all artist performance.
My whole life, I hope for everything to work out because I'm also a creative. I'm an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And like at the end of the day, I have to hope that something, you know, comes about because I don't have a secure job always. So, but back to Brendan and finally being by himself, I think I don't know, but my gut feeling tells me that he felt like he needed his friends to succeed, and he really tried to hold on to them. And then when he finally realized, like, I don't need that, not in like a bad way, but like, I don't need my friends to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Which is something like I'm sort of realizing, like, I don't really need friends to like do what I want to do. If I want to do something, I have to do it. Like, and whoever follows, follows, and whoever drops off, drops off.
Yeah.
Which is like what he's doing. And I'm just so proud of him. I talk about him like I know him.
I probably cried in the car when I was listening to it. I was just like, yeah, this is so good.
It was so, and like the whole, it's just like, there's no genre. And he loves big brass instruments.
Yep.
And he's very scatterbrained with like his taste in music. And I'm like, I relate. Hip hop. He loves it. Like, he's just all over the place. I think after he did that stint in Broadway with Kinky Boots, he was really just like, he was like, you know what? I'm going to just do whatever I want to do. Props to that. And that's why that's my favorite album, because it's kind of like a big F you to anybody who really thought you couldn't do it without them, or anybody who was being sucked or held down by like rules, guidelines, and what they think you should be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a good album.
Listen to it.
That Saturday music video is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. The music videos are pretty cool, too.
You want me to go?
Go ahead.
My favorite album is Kanye West 808 and Heartbreak. I might get a lot of crap for that one because it's not College Dropout, or
it was fun.
But I and he used auto-tune, and
it was fun. It was good.
Okay, so the reason why I like 808s and Heartbreaks is because every single song on that album is a heartbreak, and Streetlights is definitely one of my favorite songs of all time.
Yeah.
That's also a great song to analyze. That song is a main reason for I have a tattoo, and what he's saying is I'm not where I was, but I'm not where I want to be. And he always says, he says it throughout the song, I'm not in the streets, meaning he's not where he just came from. He's in the car and he's in the taxi, and he's done his work to get as far as he could, but he's just not at his destination. And 808s and Heartbreaks is super amazing, especially in the wintertime. Go listen to it in like night drive wintertime.
In the snow. Every time I hear Streetlights, it was snowing here once in Lancaster.
Well, yeah.
And I was driving, I know, driving by myself listening to that song, and it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a good album.
It is a great album.
Yeah. I love that one.
Okay, this is going to make me sound like a little emotional baby boy, but about a year ago, because this is still my favorite album, starting a year ago, I got like a pretty rough breakup or whatever. Mm-hmm. My brother got me into Mayor Hawthorne.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Boy, Mayor Hawthorne. So like, it was perfect timing, because when we broke up, it was like I listened to Man About Town, which is his newest album. And it was like love, kind of like a love heartbreak. Like, it starts off like a love album, and then it goes straight down, like downhill. And damn, Breakfast in Bed is like the best song on that album, and I remember just like listening to it. That album is amazing. It's what got me into what they call it now, retro pop now.
Oh. Retro pop.
Yeah,
I didn't know there was a term for it.
That makes complete sense, though.
That's what they're calling it. Like Spotify, or like people in general are calling it retro pop. Like Mayor Hawthorne,
mm-hmm.
Tuxedo is another one, which is Mayor Hawthorne is also in Tuxedo.
Oh, okay.
Stuff like that. I couldn't name any other artists. Like Twerp, TWRP, retro twerp? Pop. Yeah, have you heard of them?
Did you say twerk?
They do body image. Twerp?
Twerp.
Tupperware Party Remix is the full.
Tupperware Party Remix?
They do body image. You like that song?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
so that's like the retro pop.
Oh yeah. Oh man, that song is tight.
Good. But Man About Town is great, because not only does it have like Motown like vibes to it, like 70s Motown. It has like orchestra for his closer. It's just like every instrument you can think of, and him just like pouring his heart out. It is such a good album. And I recommend anyone listen to Mayor Hawthorne, cuz he's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
He's good. He does that genre well. Mm. And I think he was one of the pioneers for it, really, and giving it a name. But yeah, I mean, I would say Pray for the Wicked, but I knew you were gonna say it.
It's okay.
That album's pretty good. It's really good. And yeah, Mayor Hawthorne is just, that's my favorite album right now of all time. You know.
Awesome.
So. I've definitely heard Breakfast in Bed as Danko has played it in our studio.
It is so good.
It is a great song though. It is a really, really great song. All right. So what songs have opened you up to different genres?
Yeah.
I'll go first.
Go first.
Okay, I go first. I go first. So before, when I was very young, I used to wear giant Boss shirts and had my hair slicked back because I thought Leonardo DiCaprio was the coolest guy from Titanic.
He is.
Yeah, but I had my hair slicked back. I remember I was into a little bit of hip hop, but not too much to really care about. Just my dad was, my dad's from New York, so he was all about the streets. My first song that got me into rock was Best of Me by The Starting Line. That song is tight. And if you play guitar, I'm sure you know Best of Me, or not just Best of Me, but The Starting Line has very jazz chords. And man, I don't know what kind of gang signs their guitarist does, but Jesus, that stuff is crazy. Yeah. And then a song that got me into hip hop is Tupac's Keep Your Head Up. That song is really pretty, about being good to women. My senior quote was from that song, and it's those are the two main songs that really, really opened me up. And then I can't remember the song, but it really got me into heavy or more screamo stuff was by God, what is that band with 5 million members on it? Slipknot.
Oh yeah.
they have like four drummers. they have so many people on it. They have like four drummers and six guitars. But there's a song, I can't remember. It's like Psycho something. I can't remember. It's not called Psychopath, but that song got me into more heavy stuff. And yeah.
Okay. I guess I'll do different points too. Like when I was younger, like in middle school, we're going back to middle school for again. Dance Gavin Dance really opened me up to a lot. There was a song called
The Band.
The Band. I love them. Okay, I've seen them live. Uneasy Hearts Weigh the Most. Made me feel in some kind of way. I'm going to say that is a good song. Oh my gosh. And that really got me into their band. That song compared to all their other songs on the album, like they're a lot heavier. They're a lot mixture of like scream and like rap and then like singing. But Uneasy Hearts Weigh the Most is just the main singer. And Kurt Travis, mm-hmm. by the way. And his voice is just amazing. And that opened me up to like a whole different genre of music, like Amorosa and...
Oh, yeah.
Like, you remember Amorosa? Like, Sleeping with Sirens. Yeah. Like, that opened up the scene, and I went that way. and then Brantley from EZXP. By the way, thank you, EZXP, for letting us use your lovely equipment.
Thank you.
We are part of their network. Anyways,
we appreciate it.
Yeah. Brantley from EZXP, he got me into folk, gothic folk.
Okay.
He got me into Amigo the Devil, which is... He is a folk singer who he has one album about Dahmer, Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, okay.
He he kind of like sings about serial killers or like dark things.
Yeah.
And that opened up folk in whole for me.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of like branched out to gothic folk and southern folk. And that's when I started getting into that. Like, I love folk now. I used to bunch it up with country music. It's not country music. Folk is it's like the deep, rooted, like this is from my home country, hometown, like, and that opened me up to all of that and got me into some really good bands, like the Dead South, if you've ever heard the Dead South, they're based in Canada, stuff like that. And man, it's such a good... Anthony Green does folk.
Oh yes.
He does.
They play a lot of Anthony Green in yoga class.
Oh, really?
At the end, yeah.
Oh, that sounds great.
Dude, he's a huge yoga
fanatic.
He's a yogi.
I hear he's always at the festivals.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he's not doing Circus Survive, he's doing his folk albums or Seosin now, right? He's back in Seosin, I heard. And then, yeah, those two were the biggest ones. I've always been into hip hop, but I went the wrong path. I started with Hollywood Undead. I thought that was hip hop. And then, no judgment here.
So no. We're only going to have two people on the podcast now.
I'm sorry. We'll get the middle school thing is a whole different thing. Yeah. But I love hip hop. People Under the Stairs, if you haven't heard of them, my brother showed me them. They are a great avenue. Jarve opened me up. Jarve and Thief, The Boiler Room is a great album that you should listen to. And that opened me up to more like indie hip hop or like not big hip hop, you know, like mainstream stuff.
Underground.
Underground. Yeah. Past my mind. Words underground hip hop. Yeah. Words are hard.
Words are very hard.
And those are like the three like avenues that opened up to me from like artists or songs.
Okay. Well, what you have to know is that both of my parents are musicians. My whole family plays music. And music for me started very young. And we didn't watch a lot of TV. We just kind of listened to a lot of music when we were little. What kind of got me, I've always been attracted to percussion and like heavy hip hop beats. And I'll never forget getting my first Jock Jams CD, Jock Jams Volume 4.
Okay.
And DJ Kool is on it with Let Me Clear My Throat. That song rocked my world because I was like, there's brass instruments in here and he's rapping and his voice is super cool. And I was like, this is awesome. And my mother always asked me to turn it down.
Yeah.
So that's what really opened my mind to that. And I've always like, man, growing up, I watched MTV and BET, even though I was not allowed to watch either. But I still did. I mean, watching No Doubt on MTV.
Oh, yes.
Really? Yeah.
Ska.
Yeah. Really? I was like, I really like this music. I never had a issue with music when I was little or ever. And I remember it's really hard for me to like pick and choose what introduced me to what. But I definitely went through the emo rock, the pop, you know, Yellow Card. I listened to every day in sixth grade. Every day, yeah. I listened to the entire Ocean's Avenue album.
Yeah.
And then that skyrocketed into like other things. And in high school, I really stuck with like the screamo. Like every Friday night, you could find me at the Cedar Center, supporting local bands,
yeah.
and stuff like that. And then for some reason, I like forgot about hip hop and I don't know what like triggered it again. And then it just like it left from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still like always Frank Sinatra, always like classic big bands. I like a lot of things and I don't remember any defining moments, but that's kind of like a little background on like where I come from.
You know, you rediscover things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, 2 years ago, I rediscovered Led Zeppelin again.
Oh, yeah.
And like listening to every single instrument and every single part like just blew my mind away.
Yeah, that's the best thing about music is the details.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Anything else on the docket, Lorenzo?
No, we actually covered everything.
Oh, we good?
Yeah, we good. Oh, by the way, the song's called Psychosocial. I just looked it up.
Nice.
It was bugging me.
Very cool.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Danko.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you, Chelsea.
You're welcome.
Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you guys liked it. If you feel like you enjoyed it, please share it. We'll be talking about music here. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.